Hello and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast, the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. I'm your host, Scott Ritzheimer, and there's a trap that nobody warns you about. The very skill set that made you good enough to go out on your own can actually become the very thing that keeps you from ever building a business. And when you're the best at whatever it is that you do, when you're the best at the work that you've started, you can also become the bottleneck very quickly because every deliverable, every client, every fire runs through you. It makes the work harder and harder. And the better it gets, the bigger you get, the deeper you fall into this trap. And fortunately, it doesn't have to stay that way. Because my guest today, Mr. Jesse P. Gilmore, is going to help us figure out the exact way to get out of it and what you can do next. And he's well qualified to do so because Jesse's a transformational business coach and the founder of Niche in Control, where he helps agency owners to scale their businesses while reclaiming their time and peace of mind. He's a creator of the Leverage for Growth Method. He's host of the Leverage for Growth podcast. He's also author of The Agency Owner's Guide to Freedom. And there it is. Jesse has helped over 100 marketing agencies to break through plateaus and systematize sustainable growth. Keyword there. His mission to help business owners to scale not just their profits, but their freedom. And he's here with us today. Jesse, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. One of the things that just jumped off the pages of the book as I was reading through it was this idea of a distinction between owning a job and owning a business. And I think a lot of founders, especially in this stage two that we're talking about, have a job. It might have a little bit more freedom, but probably if they're honest, it has a lot more responsibility than it does freedom. And so what's going on here? Maybe what are some of the signs that somebody has built themselves a job instead of a business?
Yeah, that's a great way of starting off our conversation. And in my first businesses, everything kind of funneled through me. If I work didn't get done. That is very similar to that people are kind of feeling trapped. So if you took off a week, would the business even sustain or grow without you? That is a big kind of like indicator or self-assessment type of question. Also, as you take on more clients, does it increase your personal hours? These are very simple ways of being able to determine whether or not you are actually the bottleneck or what I would consider to be what's called a single point of failure, where everything relies upon a single person. And it's a certain stage, like you talked about how this is stage two in your model, where there is kind of like a reason why it's there, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to stay there. And Leverage for Growth Method's all based around freeing them up and kind of moving through the different stages. But I would say anybody that's listening to this, those two questions, if you can answer them, they'll determine if you're in this stage right now.
Yeah. I love that you brought that point there at the end, because it to some extent, succeeding in stage two is about being the answer to all those questions, because somebody has to do it and there's nobody else around. So if you don't answer it, it doesn't move. That's by design, not just by default. However, if we get stuck in that, I think that's where it becomes really problematic. How do you help folks to recognize when it's time to start addressing that? Like, how does someone know if building the business is, to the degree that they have, is just a necessary part of the game, or that they are stuck in a pattern that's not serving them well anymore?
Yeah, what I've found is that there's certain kind of growth plateaus that happen right around the 20,000 a month. Where you're about to hire the first person. That's like one of the kind of plateaus. And a lot of times those types of people that are like solopreneurs, that's like the first stage of being like, okay, something's wrong. Something is happening within the business. And I need to make a decision if I'm going to stay small or start to grow a team. Okay. And I think that is one of the biggest kind of steps. Another step is where you start to realize that what you're doing in the business might not necessarily be the thing that you had signed up for. As you start to take on more team members and maybe you don't find the right talent, you're positioning yourself based around kind of more of a default type of role, as opposed to being very specific about, this is my unique ability in the business. This is where I need to focus or stay as a visionary and then start building a business around them. And I think one of the biggest kind of unlocks, and I might be jumping into a further question you're going to ask, but is you have to make a decision on whether or not you want a business to kind of stay all about you kind of like a centralized business model, right? And there's benefits to that. Some people are like fractional, COOs or different types of fractional types of roles can make a lot of money doing that solo. But if you're starting to think about what me and Scott focus on, which is scale, you have to kind of switch your identity and you have to start looking at maybe I was the doer for a period of time. And now I need to start thinking about, and let's just be the world's greatest trainer. Can I train people better than what I am currently? And if I can train them, can I move into management? Can I be the world's greatest manager and then start moving through these different identity shifts? But I think that one of the biggest things is if you get to a place where you can start to understand that you could hire somebody and that could take things off of your plate, what is that kind of the first step? I always tell people to do like a 7-day time log and get to understand your use of time within the business. And immediately that gives you the raw inputs to figure out, should I be doing this or should I not be doing this? If I hired somebody, what would they do? That's kind of a foundational step.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much to unpack in there. I want to start with a statement you made earlier about the choice that we're really having to make. And that is, do I stay small or grow a team? Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of folks, there's like a right answer to that and a wrong option, right? Is like one of those is good and one is bad. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Is it bad to stay small or is it better to grow a team? What have you found to be true?
It really depends on what your vision is. So a lot of times when I ask agency owners that I work with, or even before starting to work together, I'm like, what's your end game? Like, what are you trying to accomplish within this business? And what I find that the ones that are wanting to grow and are wanting to grow a team and build systems and kind of switch those roles like we're talking about usually have three end games. One of them is that they either scale it to the moon as much as they possibly can, eventually sell it, or work in the business whenever they want to. If any one of those three end games are kind of like you're listening to me and Scott and you're like, hey, I'm one of those three, then you do actually need to make the switch from small to larger. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go like to the nth degree when it comes to growth. You can actually achieve your goals a lot faster than a lot of people think. A lot of times people have that kind of like have, do, be model, where it's like, once I have this, then I do this, then I become this. It's actually the reverse. And so I would say anybody that's listening that has one of those end games, you do have to make a choice to be bigger and start growing a team. For those that are kind of like, maybe that's not one of my end games, and maybe my end game is just to have complete control over what I'm doing and I only grow to a certain amount and my impact is smaller, totally fine. But that's it's dependent upon what their definition of success really is.
Yeah, that's so true. Really making that decision based on the vision you have for the organization is wise. Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at founderquiz.com. Again, that's founderquiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. One of the things that you said, so let's say someone's deciding to move forward they do want to grow a team. You use the phrase becoming the world's greatest trainer and then moving on to becoming a manager. And you talked about this identity shift that has to happen. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've found, and this is, I would say, very true in the agency space in particular, is their identity is marketer, right? Or agency owner or some, SEO expert or something, whatever their thing is. And there aren't a whole lot of entrepreneurs that start out saying, hey, I want to be the best trainer in the world. How do folks make that identity shift? And can anyone do it? Or is it like for an elite few?
I would like to say with the right method, you can that anybody can do it. But I think that when you come out as a marketing agency owner, typically you're like a freelancer in the way beginning, you start working on by the hour, you generate enough demand, then you leave your job and you start making the choices. And a lot of the business in the way beginning is based around your skills, but they get to a certain point where there's only so many hours you're going to be able to work. There's only so much of an impact you can do if it's just based around you. And I think that one of the biggest things that I get clients to do is a lot of mindset work, getting to understand where you are and what do you want to be remembered for when you die, like really intense types of questions. And then based around where you are right now, what habits are actually holding you back from achieving that end game that you're trying to accomplish? And I think that once people start to make that mental shift that right now, the best value that I can give to the business is not by doing the SEO type of work, but actually finding people that can do it better than I can, or at least as Dan Martell would say, 80% by somebody else is 100% awesome. Like that same kind of idea where you have other people starting to do a lot of that quote unquote grunt work, so you can actually focus on what you are the world's greatest at. And the trainer is not necessarily the end game. In our model, we think of a lot about these identity shifts going from the doer to the trainer, to the manager, to the leader, and then eventually to the visionary, very similar to your stages where you talk about the chief executive at stage five. And I think that the best thing that we can do is build businesses to support the founder in that transition. And it kind of gives a path out of just constantly grinding.
Yeah. I love the stage approach. I'm somewhat partial to it. There is, you mentioned this before, and I want to come back to it because I have found it to be exceptionally helpful and also exceptionally repulsive to a lot of people. But this idea of sitting down and actually tracking what you do. Tell us a little bit about how that, I think you use a 1 week log, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Does it take like hours a day? What does it look like, and why is it helpful?
Yeah, totally. So the weekly time log is one of the first things I do with every single client. Specifically, one-on-one clients, I'll do a deep dives into their time log and give them actionable things from it. But it's very simple. For 7 days, you just log your time every half an hour. For 7 days, you can sleep and then cover it all so you don't have to do it in while sleeping. But what it does is it captures the both personal and professional. And you get a snapshot of kind of raw data. If you're a marketer right now and you understand that if you're going to take over somebody's ad campaign, you look at past campaigns before you do anything else, right? Same exact idea when it comes to time use and those identity shifts, right? Your use of time is going to shift when you start to move from doer to trainer to manager and so forth. So what we do is for 7 days, every half an hour, as much detail as you possibly can. So you can't just say client work, right? You got to kind of dive in and this is what I'm doing. Okay. Now I started binge watching Netflix. I'm kind of bored or I'm not going to sleep because I'm checking my phone. Like anything that gets you to be so raw and aware of what, where your time is going, it gives you so much data. And we run them through the eliminate, automate, delegate, time block methodology, which if there's something that you're doing that you can eliminate, just do it. There's no reason to automate or delegate or time block something that's not even worth it. Automation right now, especially in the land of AI and where we're at right now, can take over large amounts of the things that you're doing right now to free you up to delegate effectively. And delegation does not necessarily mean that you just immediately just give them everything. You can focus on low risk tasks or things that are totally not worth your pay grade and be able to focus mostly on time block. Now, time blocking, a lot of people always just think about allotting a certain amount of time towards a certain activity, which is part of it. It's actually the minimization of task switching. So if you're working on something technical, keep all technical stuff together. If you are working with clients, group them together, right? If you're working with a team, group them together. And what happens is that you make better decisions, you have less fatigue, and you can get more done. So that's what we do, and it starts up the whole process.
It's such a great first step for someone looking for a practical way out of this job that they created for themselves. It really is step one. I love that you do it that way. Jesse, there is a question that I have for you before we make sure folks know how they can get in touch with you. And that is, what is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
And it might be because we just talked about the time log, but what I want to say is that if you are starting to realize that the things that you want in your life and business, you quote unquote don't have time for, I'm just going to say that's BS. I'll keep it as that. Because you have a lot more control over your life and business than you think. And I think that if you go through a 7-day, even if it's like a 7-day time log that feels like it's like nails on a chalkboard to get through those 7 days, it's going to set you up so much for success. If you just go through the 7 days of roughness to get to a place where you can realize that it's all based around prioritization and mindset. I think that's my takeaway.
I love it. I love it. For those of you, for those who are listening, who are saying, hey, I'd love to know more. Where's this book? Where can I get a copy of it? How can they reach out to you directly, especially those who are in that agency owner space? Where can folks find you and reach out for more?
Sure. So we're going through a rebrand right now, but you'll find my website, Niche in Control. So Niche, N-I-C-H-E, incontrol.com. If you want a copy of my book that Scott was reading right before this to prepare, you can go to nicheincontrol.com/book. And then I'm very active on LinkedIn. So you can go to LinkedIn and it's just my name, Jesse P. Gilmore. And just let me know that you listen to me and Scott. So that way I can understand a bit more of the context and I'd love to chat with you.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Highly recommend it. For those of you who listen to the show, you probably like stage-based advice, and Jesse does a great job at that. This is an excellent resource. Jesse, thanks for being on the show. It was just a privilege. Awesome conversation. I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate your time. And for those of you watching and listening, you know that your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did, and I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use hashtag StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.